I would like to share with you some yet unfinished and unpolished thoughts for this first Shabbos of Chanukah and the connection of the Haftorah and the idea of Chanukah. The simplest idea is that this week's Haftorah deals with the menorah that was given as a symbol to the prophet Zechariah, as a symbol of the future of the Jewish people. And since Chanukah has to do with the miracle of the menorah, that is the simple connection. And therefore, this Haftorah is also the Haftorah of Bahaloscha, which also speaks about, in its beginning, the menorah. However, there seems to be a much deeper connection between this Haftorah and Chanukah, because this Haftorah deals with Yehoshua, the Kohen Gadol, and Zerubbabel, who was a descendant of King David and was the leader of the Jewish people and fit to be a king if kings had existed in that time. And the Chanukah also had to do with the Kohanim, the Chashmonaim, who also later became the kings of the Jewish people. So the Chashmonaim were both kings and Kohanim, and the menorah also, which represents the Jewish people, all of them are the subject of this Haftorah, and all of them are included in Chanukah. And the Shaloh HaKodesh says that there are three crowns: the crown of Kahuna that Levi took, and the crown of Malchus, which Yehuda took, the crown of Torah he attributes to Yosef, and the crown of a good name to Yaakov Avinu. The crowns of Kahuna and the crowns of Malchus both serve the crown of Torah. The Kohanim are the ones who do the service in the Beis HaMikdash, the service of Nitzvos, which all are there to strengthen Torah. And the Malchus also strengthens Torah by providing a physical framework for the Torah and authority that makes sure that people keep the Torah. It would seem that there's always a connection between the Melech and the Kohen. They go together because it's necessary to have the one who actually teaches the Torah, the one who actually promotes the Avodah, together with the one who yields the authority and creates the physical framework for Torah. And therefore we find that there's a Mashuach Melchama. There was a Kohen who went out to fight when the king would take them out to fight. There was the idea that Yehuda was the first to bring the sacrifice in consecrating the altar. So you have this idea of the kingdom together with the Mizbeach, together with the Kohanim. Eliyahu will accompany Melech HaMashiach, the Melech, and Eliyahu was Pinchas, who was the Kohen. And we find that the king, Mashiach, will build the Beis HaMikdash, again, connecting Malchus with Kahuna, with the Beis HaMikdash. However, it's important that these two powers remain separate. Malchus is one of Gevura, of strength, of physicality, of war, of the physical needs of this world. That's what the Melech provides. And the Kohen is the idea of Chesed, Avodah, in a very pleasant way. And the Levi, the Kohanim, have to be separated from all the physical worries of this world. They don't go into war. They don't provide their own sustenance. They're provided for by the community in order that they can totally be involved in spiritual things. So you need that spiritual force that supports Torah, and you need that physical force that supports Torah. But when the Kohen becomes a Melech, and the Kohen is not separated totally, and he's involved in the physical things of the world, then that mitigates his kahuna. The menorah itself represents Klal Yisrael, and the menorah was made by Bezalel, who came from Yehuda, symbolizing Malchus, and later on by Shlomo HaMelech, and the Kohen is the one who utilizes the menorah and prepares it to be lit. And it comes out that the lighting of the menorah itself has both of these aspects. It has the light that represents the spiritual, and the fire that represents the power and strength of the Melech. And so too in Neris Hanukkah, there's the idea of fire and there's the idea of light. These two domains really should remain separate, and therefore a Kohen cannot be a Melech. And the Ramban says this was the mistake of the Chashmonoim, that they maintained the Malchus, they maintained the royalty after the miracle of Hanukkah. And that was why in the end the Chashmonoim were decimated by a slave of theirs, Hordas, Herod. Now, could be that the Chashmonoim themselves, the Shalach HaKadosh says, made the mistake because they felt that these two domains should be meshed. Like we said, they always went together, and they felt that the best thing would be they should be together in one place, through one group of people. And they made the mistake because their mother, from their mother's side, they emanated from Yehuda. So they had a connection to the Malchus from their mother's side. And also, since God was the one who aroused them to go and fight, and that the Kohen should take on the role of the Melech temporarily to fight the Yevonim, but that was only because the Yevonim were threatening the spirituality of the Jewish people. Therefore, this was a spiritual war, not necessarily a war based on protecting the physical aspects of the Jewish people, but the spiritual one. So says Rav Shlomo Kluger, that's why the Kohanim were the ones to fight, because this war specifically was a war that was waged over spiritual ideas. So they understood that therefore they should continue on and be the kings, which was a mistake. The only time that in the future that the king will also be the spiritual leader is when Mashiach comes and there's no need for any more for the physical parameters, but the main thrust will be to teach and to spread Torah after the Mashiach establishes himself. Then the Mashiach himself will be this teacher, just like the Kohen. And that's why in the future, lo b'chayil v'lo b'koach, kim baruchi omar Hashem, regarding the kingdom, and Zerubbabel will not come with might and power and armies, but rather with God's spirit. And the Chashmonoim felt that maybe they reached this level already, and therefore they looked upon this as Eim HaMalchus, the mother of royalty. The woman does not go into battle. She represents the royalty without the force and the battling. But they were wrong. The time had not yet come. There were still physical battles to be taken care of. There still was a need for a physical parameter of royalty that would take care of these physical needs of the Jewish people in a way that wasn't befitting a Kohen, where a Kohen would have to compromise his total devotion to spirituality. And therefore, because they weren't totally devoted as slaves to God, their slave wasn't devoted to them and rebelled against them. So perhaps this is the idea of Hanukkah. Hanukkah was a time when both of these parameters meshed, where the Kohanim had to assume the fight of the kings, what usually is the king's role, because since Hanukkah represented the danger, the threatening of the Jewish people totally in a spiritual way, not in a physical way, even the physical fighting became spiritual. But in normal circumstances, after Hanukkah, the Kohanim should have gone back to the Beis HaMikdash and permitted the descendants of Yehuda to take over the Malchus.